all right.
Is that what it is? Amen. It's what I went to the eye doctor a few months back because I had trouble seeing things. I had 20/20 vision in one eye, and I think like 25/20 in the other eye. And I said, man, I can't hardly see stuff, though. He said, you mean you got to move things back and forth to get it focused? And I said, yeah. He said, that's just old age. All right. Amen. Okay. The study I did this morning in the message came across another little study in that book that I was reading. It just really helped me. I appreciate the Lord just when you have a desire or something and God kind of just leads you in the right direction to help you to studying it and just things like that gives you right. Some I know there is some churches, there is one organization in northern Florida, southern Georgia, they don't believe in the ministers reading any other commentaries or nothing. I disagree with that. There's a lot of knowledge out there. A lot of men have good knowledge. We was talking yesterday afternoon with some, you know. Brother Messer's a very knowledgeable man. When he passes away, that's going to be a lot of knowledge go to the grave. Amen. And praise God, I'm thankful for the books he has written and things. And, you know, that helps us. It helps us in these things. And I want to do a study. I'm not going to hold you long, but I do have about 25 scriptures here. It just deals with us as a body of believers that we have obligations to one another. We have obligations to one another. And God, that's to me, that's part of God working in our lives, drawing us closer to Him. And when He draws us closer to Him, we're going to be drawn closer to each other. And there's a lot of obligations, a lot of things that we have to do in the body of Christ. And I've got 25 scriptures here just on one another commands. You can just take the word one and another and look it up in a concordance, and you'll come up with all these scriptures that deals our commitment to each other. And I put them down on paper for you. And what I'm going to do is just kind of comment. If you'll pass them around, they're not all yours. You got to pass them. If you'll just look at them. What I have done, I have two papers, and to try to save paper, there's a front and a back. So, if you'll just pass around, let's start with the couples. If one couple, there might be enough, and more it could be, but I'd rather make more copies than have too many and just waste. So what I did was I tried to, Sister Abby helped me on printing them out this morning, try to get one paper so we wouldn't have just 30 papers instead of 60. And I'll give it time for you to look at these and get these handed out. They're numbered 1 through 25. And I don't want to bore you with just reading through a bunch of scriptures, but I believe if you'll take these scriptures, and when you come, and when you have with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, you might have a conflict. There might be something go wrong. You're greeting them. Everything. We have obligations to one another. And again, God cannot use this church until there's complete unity in it. Until there's complete unity in it. So I think if you'll just take these scriptures and we'll look at them. And I'll try my best not to hold you long. So we can do the second part of God's commandment for the Sabbath. And that is to rest. Amen. That should be the easiest thing you have to do today. Amen. Is rest. Okay. We got extras. So, couples, anybody? All right. Extras. Right. Children, any of the children? Okay. Everybody good? I've got about three more here. Guys, all right, you can have your own. All right, we're good to go. Okay. The scriptures are there with each of the commandments that he gives to us. And I'll just kind of read, and I Sorry not to bore you, but I'm just going to read them, give a few comments on them, help them. Some of the verses, it's not the complete verse. I cut some of them short, and you'll probably notice that. I cut two or three of them short just so they would all fit on two pages. It was going to end up being three pages, and I didn't want to do that. So I cut some of the verses short, left out part that didn't really apply to the command that we'll be talking about. But you can look at the whole verse sometime if you like. And I believe this will help us, church. It will help us. You know, we train our kids on how to, or you should train your kids when they're growing up on how to respect authority, how to respect adults and each other. And God's Word gives us a whole list of things on how do we react to each other in the body of Christ and how we treat each other. And the first one he tells us here in being 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, he talks about that we are to love one another. Seeing you have purified your souls in the obeying of the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you have another, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So he talks about here, what's he talking about when he talks about unfeigned love? We're going to try and make a discussion here and you won't go to sleep on me. Unfeigned love. Inexhaustible? Open. Okay. Not holding anything back?
Not holding anything.
Okay. Anybody else?
Real,
not pretend. That's good.
Sincere.
Genuine, that's right. These are good words. These are all the things that we are to do. It's not something you do half-heartedly. It's not something you do just once in a while. It's not something you do when everything's going good. Amen? It's easy to show compassion to your spouse, you know, when everybody's happy. Do it when one of them's not happy. A little harder, right? And it needs to be fervent. He talks about with a pure heart, fervently, passionate, on fire, sincere. However you want to describe that word, we are commanded to love one another. And this is something we do in obeying the truth through the spirits. Not hold anything back, but have love for the brethren. Be kindly affectioned one to another. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. You'll notice number 2 and number 3 are the same verse. Number 2, he talks about being kindly affectioned one to another. Number 3, preferring one another in honor. So when you have this kindly affection one to another, he talks about with brotherly love and honor, and you preferring one another. Now this preferring one another is not when there's something, you know, it's easy to prefer your brother to do something if he has to go walk a tightrope or something, you know, I prefer you to. It's easy to do something like that when it's something dangerous or something, but that's not what he's talking about here. A lot of times, you know, it's not all about me. Well, it's not all about I. It's preferring your brother for something good. It's preferring your brother and something that's it's an honor in preferring one another. A lot of times, you know, you may get down to the last piece of pie in the dessert line. And you're going to prefer your brother. Amen? There's something that simple things like that. And then maybe your brother say, I love you so much, we'll split it. How's that? Amen? Boy, I don't get no amens on that one. Praise God. That's right. That's right. But he's commanded us to do. And you can apply these verses to just about a lot of situations. I'm just giving you a couple basic situations that you'll provide these verses. You need to be kindly affectionate one to another. I struggle with this a lot of times because my attitude a lot of times has been in the past, just get over it. And that's not really being kindly affectionate. Showing affection. But sometimes it may not be something that bothers me. But if it bothers my brother, then I need to show kindness to him. I can say, well, I wouldn't let that bother you if I was you, but I'm not him. So I have to show that affection. Might be something that I've already been through and the Lord's helped me with it. And this person is is struggling with it, and I can't look at it. Well, why are you struggling with something so simple? I can't look at it in that mindset. I need to show the affection to him. It's just like we do with our spouses, you know. Like we may think, well, why is this bothering her? Why is that bothering her? It's not really a matter of why that we need to question, why are you letting this bother you? It is bothering her, so we have to show the affection. What can we do to help it? And that's what we need to do with one another. Something is bothering them, show the affection, and help take care of the situation. Let's look at another one, number four. If you have any questions or comment, I would appreciate just whatever you comment or question to help us out. Number four, it says, be of the same mind one towards another. Romans 12 and 16. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescending to men of low estate, but be wise in your own conceit. But he tells us here, be of the same mind one towards another. Again, our thinking, our unity, we must have this unity. We must have the same mind on the Scriptures and the doctrines of the Scriptures. There is a few things in Scriptures that we can have our own opinion on that is not going to cause any distraction on salvation or things like that, the Spirit of God, the Trinity, just things like that. But there may be a few things that we may disagree on that is not going to be a question of anything. I have preached before that we talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ being crucified on Friday. I believe according to the Scriptures it's not possible for Him to be crucified on Friday and be resurrected on Sunday, the first day of the week. I take it literally as Scripture tells us, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, or in the belly of the whale, that our Jesus Christ would be that too. 3 days and three nights. But then you can, some look at it as they count Friday afternoon as one day, and then Saturday, and then Saturday, Sunday morning as one day, and that's their 3 days. It's a minor thing. It's nothing that's going to determine whether we're going to get to heaven or not. When we get to heaven, we'll ask, Lord, what day was you crucified on? And that can be settled. But it's nothing. It's the same thing. But when it comes to doctrinal things and things of Scriptures that are important, we must all be on the same page, church. And there is one body, there is one Word, there is one Spirit, and we can be. We can all be on the same thing, on the same page. Now, it may take us some time to study the Word of God out and see what exactly Scripture says. And then what you have to do, if you're wrong, then you're just going to have to humble yourself and say, well, I didn't really see it that way, but now it's more clear to me, and I understand. And not be high-minded and think that you have to be right and you can't be wrong. Edify one another. Pretty basic Scriptures and clear. Romans 14 and 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify one another. So is it okay to brag on our brother and sister? To edify them? Or is that bragging? We can lift them up. As long as you do it with a pure heart, okay? All right. Encouragement. We are to edify. You know, it does good. You know, if you're teaching or singing or whatever you do, it does a person good to hear that I enjoyed your class or I enjoyed your song or whatever. It does good. It does good. And you say, well, they didn't sing it just perfect. Well, how many of us can? Right? But you still can enjoy it. They put their heart into it. And that's enough to be happy about right there. They put their heart into it. And you can edify them. And they say, well, I'm not going to edify them because then they're going to get lifted up. Now what are we going to do? We got a problem. So do not edify people because we're afraid pride will get in their heart. What are you going to do now? The devil will do something to pop their bubble. I promise you. But we still are to edify and lift up. And you say, well, that person's not my favorite person. Well, that don't matter. You're probably not their favorite person either. So you can edify them and lift them up. Amen. And it does take a strong person to edify. It does take a strong person to edify. You like for your boss man to tell you you did a good job, or that you that he appreciates your labors and your sacrifice. You like it, and somebody else is going to like it when you do it to them. Okay? Receive one another as Christ received us. How did Christ receive us? Who?
I heard.
With open arms? Okay? Christ didn't first go through a whole checklist. How much money you've got? What race are you? How educated are you, huh?
I said he received them as they were.
As they were. Okay. He did. He received us, Brother John said, with open arms. And, you know, we struggle because, and we're going to be looking at some more scriptures along this line, but we struggle because we want to categorize people. The wealthy, the poor, this, that. And we are not to do that. There is one body that we are baptized in. As we talked about in our Sunday school class, and there is not a Hispanic body. There is not other races, China and all these other. There's not one, all these different bodies. We are baptized into one body, and we are to receive them into that body. We are to receive them into the body of Christ, no matter if they're rich or if they're poor, or wealthy or fame. If they come in rags or they come in with fine clothes, we are to receive them into the body of Christ. And the Scripture tells us that in Romans 15 and 7. Admonish one another. 15 and 14 of Romans, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. I think that is a verse that I did cut some of it out, if I remember right. I believe there's more to that verse. Let me look real quick. Right. 15 and 14. He talks about, and I myself also persuade of you, my brother, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Does anybody know what that word means?
Admonish.
Teach. Correct. I heard correct. Okay. And that does goes along the line, but if you do look it up, it means to reprove gently. Reprove gently. You know, sometimes we like to get them by the neck. You can't do that sometimes. You've got to reprove them gently. Some people, it may take them by the neck and get them their attention. But some people can't handle that. And you've got to reprove them gently. And sometimes, and Paul was able to do this. He talks about in the Scriptures that he was able to whatever. If he was teaching to a educated men, he could get right in there and debate with them. Or if he was preaching and teaching to some new man, a drunkard or something, he was able to get on their level and talk to them about the ways of God. And we must be able, and that takes the Spirit of God to help us. How do we reprove them gently? First thing you need to do is pray about it. Ask God to help you. And you know, there's times, Brother Al mentioned this morning, and it was so correct, you may have the right answer and it may be the wrong timing. May not be that person may not be able to take it right then. It may be also the right timing and you've got the wrong answer. Or you're going to present it in a wrong way. And I've been guilty of that many times. I had the right answer and it was the right time, but I presented it in the wrong way. And instead of being gentle about it, I did the neck thing, and it didn't work too good. Amen. Anybody comment or question? I told you I wouldn't keep you long. All right. How about number 8? Can you handle this one? Greet one another with a holy kiss. What you going to do now? Why did they greet one another with a holy kiss? Why a kiss? Shows affection. That was their custom, too. And showing affection. If you want to greet your brother and brother with a holy kiss, I'm not going to be offended. Handshake will work, too. And a neck. And a hug. And I believe you can show affection that way too. The whole the spirit of it, the whole thing is have affection for your brother. I'm glad to see my brother. He's my brother. Amen. Okay. Number 9, serve one another. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only to use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but to love, but by love serve one another. Notice the qualification on this serving one another. It's with love. It is with love. The obligation you have to your brother is you are a servant. That's what that word means, slave. And you are to serve one another and you are to do it with love, not grudgingly, not murmuring and complaining and wish you didn't have to do this and he gets on my nerves and why do I have to do this for? It's the wrong mindset. Serve one another with love. You see your brother in need or your brother needs some help, we are to serve him. We are to serve him. And we are to do what we can to take care of the problem. He may have whatever it may be, there's all anything. It could be, I'll use my boys. You might have vehicle trouble, and they may know what's wrong with it, and they are obligated to serve you, and to help you with that situation. But then you can take some other scriptures that you are not to take advantage of your brother either. You are not to take advantage of your brother either. That's how they make their living, and if you're able to pay them or whatever the situation may be, and then you have an obligation too. You have an obligation too. Now, there's nothing wrong with us helping each other out. But again, you don't take advantage of your brother and his knowledge and what he is trying to do either. So you got to have a balance there in everything. But serve one another. Don't do it grudgingly. Do it with love. Verse 10, number 10, forbear one another. We talked about a lot of this in our Sunday school class. Forbear, you notice it's with all lowliness, meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in Ephesians chapter 4. Those are in this class. That's a familiar passage that we studied. And it's with the mindset of, let me get to it here. It's a mindset with all lowliness. We are to forbear one another. With forbearing one another in love. We are to have this mindset of lowliness. Meekness talks about gentleness. Long suffering talks about also talks about forbearance. And he tells us here, forbear one another. And forbearing simply means to put up with. To put up with them. I don't like putting up with them. Well, they put up with you. So there's a balance there. Amen. And a lot of times, you know, we have a struggle that we think everybody should be like us, like me or you. And everybody's not like me and everybody's not like you. And thank God for that. And God made us all different. And we all have our little, as Brother Steve Mitchell said, our little quirks. I think that's what he had. He said, quirks. Okay. Quirks. And we all have them. And amen. Nobody's going to agree with me? Okay. Huh? Idiosyncrasies. Okay. We have them. We never tolerate sin, church. We're not talking about sin here. If they've got sin in their life, then that has to be dealt with. And we go through the steps that the church, God gives us to do that. And if that don't take care of the problem, it has to be dealt with. We're not talking about sin. But we all have our little, just little things that might get on somebody's nerves. Amen. Number 11, be kind and tender-hearted one to another. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And number 12 goes along with that, or uses the same verse. We are to be tender-hearted one towards another. Tender-hearted. Tell me how that is in life. How are we tender-hearted? Tender-hearted. Compassion, okay. Not rough. sympathetic. That's right. We feel for that person, that situation. We're tenderhearted to them, compassionate to them, what they're going through, what they're facing, what's happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you're sensitive.
Right. It's not sense of callous on the hands to get hard. You don't feel anything. When you're tender, it don't take much before you feel it in the heart.
Right. That's right. How do we forgive as Christ forgave us? How did Christ forgive us? Freely? What did Christ do when He forgave us, though He don't ever bring it back to remembrance? It's forgotten. All right, forgive and again, say, forgotten. It takes the Spirit of God to do that. You will not do it in the flesh. You will not do it in the flesh. As Christ forgave us, He does not bring it back to us every time we get down and pray or whatever. And He says, you know, remember what you did to me? God doesn't do that to us. Aren't we thankful? That's right. As far as the east is from the west, they will never come in contact with each other. You can go west and you will always go west. You can go east and you will always go east. You go north and then you can only go so far and you're going to go back south. Or you can go south and you're going to only go so far and you're going to go back north. So it's never going to be brought back to remembrance. And as I said, you've got to have the Spirit of God in you to do that, because when you get down to pray, the accuser of the brother is going to be right there on your shoulder if you let him. When a brother asks you to forgive him, you forgive him as Christ forgave you. And as I taught a few Sundays ago, if you're not willing to forgive him, then Christ cannot forgive you of your sins. All right? Okay, that's the first page. Told you I wouldn't keep you long. Anybody got a comment on that? Question, anything they want to add? I hope when we get to the bottom of this, we will know how to treat one another. And if we have any questions, we can go to these verses and find out. Submit yourselves one to another. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Again, what do we mean by submitting? Do we submit to their ideas or their thinking or what? What are we submitting to? One another. Well, yes. Yes, you're correct in that thinking. You know, I could say, well, I'm an elder. I want to be careful here, but I could say, well, I'm an elder. I don't have to submit to you. That's not right. Or I can say, well, I got more money than you. I don't have to submit to you. Or I've been serving God longer than you. I don't have to submit to you. No. You submit. Again, you don't ordain any kind of sin or anything like that. But there's these things. Just ask when you're married. You know, there's times, you know, you just forfeit your rights a little bit. I say rights. Maybe that's not the right word. But your spouse wants something and it's nothing wrong with it or anything. And sometimes you just submit to it. Say, it's okay. We'll go this way. And that's all right. You submit to your brothers in authority. You submit to them in just many different ways. And sometimes, you know, if it's not hurting anything and if it's wrong, if it's not wrong, sometimes we just submit to them. They want to do it this way and there's nothing wrong with it. It's not going to hurt anything. It's not going against God's word, God's will, or anyway. Sometimes we just submit. Just surrender our rights, so to speak.
Gets back to esteeming others better than yourself.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I think brother too, that submitting goes along with that serving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think back in the Old Testament, the ascension of Korah, Moses, and how Korah was not submitting themselves one to another in the fear of God. They were taking it upon their own selves.
Right.
And Moses, you can see his submission to God. I'm not bringing any accusations to him whatsoever. He humbled himself before God in the fear of God. And of course, we know what happened to Korah and all the folks. God over the earth followed them. So it's that they had no fear of God and submitting to one to another. That's why it says here, submit yourself one to another in the fear of God.
Right, that's right.
So there was that. I don't care what you say, Moses. You take too much on yourself. We're just as good as you are. Type thing. You can't do that.
Mm-mm.
So they weren't in submission at all to one another. The fear of God.
Right. It's good.
I don't know if you like that example.
I submit to it. What you going to say?
I was going to say, in this particular context,
uh-huh.
The next verse that talks about the wife submitting their husbands, is that the context of that particular scripture? Because in this context, when you look at the word submitting, I looked it up on the e-sword, and that means translate reflectively to obey.
Reflect.
Like if you obey it to the point where it becomes like a reflex, you just do it.
Comes natural. Yes. You just submit to our authorities, as I mentioned. That's right. Mm-hmm. These answers, we do it in the fear of God. And it is in that context. It is submitting, you could say submitting to your authorities, but again, it goes vice versa, you know. As talking about with Moses and stuff. Sometimes, if it's not dealing with anything contrary to scriptures or sin along those lines, you know, we can submit. We can submit. There's a lot of times us men, when we have our business meetings, somebody may want to do something this way, somebody may want to do it this way. More people may want to do it this way. The people over here, they're going to have to submit. They're going to have to submit. They can't say, well, I didn't want it that way. But you had more people who wanted it that way, so you have to submit your right. And like I said, we're not talking about anything that's going to be contrary or along the lines of sin or scripturally anything like that. If we ever get to where we can build a new sanctuary, there's going to have to be a lot of submitting. And you're going to have to do it in the fear of God. If one person's going to want this collar, one person's going to want this decoration, and they want it this way. One person's going to want padded pews. One person don't want padded pews. One want this and that and the other thing. This pew's too hard. This pew's too soft. This carpet's too bright. Somebody's going to have to submit. And if we don't, we're going down.
Yeah.
Amen.
Starts out in that little passage and be not drunk with wine, where Zach says, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking and songs and hymns, the spiritual songs, singing, make melody in your heart, giving thanks always. Then he gets down and says, submit. We ain't filled with the Spirit of God, and you ain't God, and you'll never know. There's times you submit, there's times you don't. There's times you dig your heels in and say, this is the way it's going to be, and then there's just sometimes that the best thing is to submit. And we need the direction of God when it's just those minor things that don't. Don't say it is, don't have a hill of beans, you let her grow off the water like a nuts bag, and right stop the verse. That's what you do. And you've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. If you don't, you'll never be able to know what when it's right to submit.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
May all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. The oxen do the right thing for the common good of all.
That's right. Okay.
And God is the Lord of
us. That's right.
Fear God. You do that because you fear God. You don't do it because you're a kind of super humble person. You do it because you fear God. You fear God.
That's right. That is the whole goal right there, is to keep unity and keep the peace and to do it in the fear of God. If we can't do that, we're not going to make it. Okay. We are to comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 18 basically says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You have to go up to find out what he's talking about in this context here. He's talking about the coming of the Lord, as in the rapture. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another. That word comfort means to exhort. We exhort one another with these words. That should be something that we do, is we exhort one another. We'll talk about some more of that. We exhort one another, comfort one another with these words. That should, if you are ready for the coming of the Lord, that should bring comfort to you. The Lord is soon to come. Maranatha, rejoice. We're fixing to go home any day. And that should be comfort to you. We do that in other things too. Not just about the coming of the Lord, but we try to bring comfort and exhortation and strength to our brothers and sisters and help them in the Lord's comforts. One another is what we are to do. That doesn't mean you give them a pillow and things like that. It's not that kind of comfort. But you bring some relief to them. You're bringing some relief to them. Comfort them. The bad hour we're living in, Jesus is fixing to come. You got a negative, but you got a positive there. And it's soon to happen. Okay. Exhort one another. Exhort one another daily, which is called to today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another again. Comfort one another daily while it is today. He tells us to do that daily. Do you exhort one another daily? The ones you come in contact with. Do you comfort them? Do you exhort them? Lift them up daily. Help them. Exhort them. A lot of times we talk more about the things of this world when we should be exhorting and comforting one another with God's words, our Lord and Savior. And that's a lot of times we get away from that when we should be talking more about that and exhorting one another daily. Consider one another. These are things I'm telling you, if you walk in the flesh, you're not going to fulfill them. You're not going to do them. You're going to have to walk in the Spirit to consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. Not to provoke unto anger and make them mad. But you consider one another. To do what? To let us consider one another to provoke unto love. Again, it's talking about exhorting one another. Encouraging one another to grow in the Lord's. Not put a stumbling block, not to put some kind of distraction in them. You got to exhort one another. I'm telling you, the world is not going to exhort you to grow in the Lord. The world is not going to exhort you. Your employee ain't going to exhort you to go forward in God. The body of Christ has to exhort each other. Let's go forwards. You can make it. Let's pray for you. All kinds of things you can do in exhorting and considering one another. Also, he talks about in that same verse 16 and 17, we are to consider one another. And 17, provoke one another unto love and to good works. Provoke that person. You need to have some kind of word, exhortation, that is going to provoke that person to love God more and to do good works. not something that is going to push them the other direction. You've got to have something to get them prodded, something to get them going. God's love flowing and something to help them, to provoke them. All right. Confess your faults one to another. Are we to confess our sins one to another? If it's appropriate. That's right. But here he's not so much talking about in the sense, if you take the text of the Scripture, when he talks about here, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that they may be healed. I can't forgive you of your sins. Only Jesus Christ can do that. If you have done me wrong, then you need to confess your faults to me. If you have, I put it this way, if you have sinned against me or if you have done me wrong, then yes, you need to confess your faults to me. And I can forgive you of what you've done me wrong. But if you have sinned against God, then I can't forgive you of that sin. I can't pray that you be healed in that sense of that kind of forgiveness. I can't do that. I can't forgive you if you sinned against God. If you have done the church wrong, if you have done me wrong personally, then yes, and you confess your faults. Also, it's just talking about, a lot of times, it's your weaknesses. Confess your weaknesses, too. It's and then pray one for another, he talks about here. That confess your faults, your weakness one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. There may be a reason why you're sick. There may be a reason why you know that you've done something and it hurts you physically and you need the church to pray for you. You know? You take our kids, they come up and you know, and their hands burnt, and you ask them, why your hand burnt? You know? Because I was playing with fire. That was wrong. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you did something wrong and you pray. You confess your faults, your weakness. Anybody want to comment on that? Disagree? Are we awake? Okay. Yes. Twelve. Let me get there, okay? Back up a minute now. You say that again, please.
Sometimes people will tell me. Sometimes you might tell me, "Well, you need to forgive that person who has offended, even though that person hasn't confessed his offense and he hasn't asked for forgiveness. Then I should still forgive him." But in that context, aren't there different? Different types of forgiveness or different levels of forgiveness. Sometimes we should forgive people for our own sins. Then there are other times the Lord wants to forgive someone for something they've done, they need to come and ask for forgiveness.
Well, I'll give you my thinking is it depends on what it is. The magnitude of it or whatever. If it's something it's not going to benefit that person or help that person, if it's just something very minor, you know, love covers a multitude of sins. If it's just something small or something, It's something bigger than that, and this person needs, he needs to repent of it so it will help him not to do it again, or and things along those lines. Then I can't forgive a person until they ask for forgiveness. Christ doesn't forgive us until we ask for forgiveness. I can, like I said, if it's something small and it's very minor, I can just forget it. If it's, and if I cannot do that, if it's something that is bothering me and I cannot just forget about it and just go on, and then to me, what you need to do, as the Scripture tells us, if your brother's offended him, then you leave your gift at the altar and you go. You have to go. And you need to talk to that person about that. And if it's something drastic enough that he's not willing to repent of it, then you just go through the stages, the steps that the Scripture gives us. I'm not sure if I'm answering the question right. It, a lot of times it just depends on the situation. You can't. But me personally, you cannot forgive until there's repentance. And if there is something that is minor, and it's not going to bother you, it's just something very minor, then you can just overlook it. But if it's something that you can't overlook, or it is something that is a problem, there has been an offense come, then it needs to be dealt with.
Confession, repentance, forgiveness, one of the hardest things you have to face, because we are not finite. But we are finite, we are not infinite, we do not have all knowledge. All we can do is follow the Scripture commands. If a man, the Bible says, you know, how many times you forgive a man? Mm-hmm. 7 times 7, we know the Scriptures. I come up and smack in the face and, oh, I'm sorry, forgive me. I go away, come back again, and I do that 490 times in a day. By the end of the day, I promise you, you are not God, and you're starting to say, this man is really not offended. There's your problem.
Yes.
And we know the scriptural principle that if a man continues in sin, he keeps right on going in sin. The Bible says he that committed sin is a sinner. And he's practicing it, and he's giving himself to it, and you say, I'm going to forgive this man. You know, and he doesn't. But the hard part for us is to know when he's changed.
That's right.
He does it multiple times in a day. The first thing we're going to do in our knowledge is say, this guy has really repented. And the reality of it is he probably really hasn't.
What's repentance?
A man that turns from it, goes and doesn't do it again.
Okay.
That's true repentance. But if he commits that fault, now that's what I'm telling you. Fine line. It's a fine, because, and it's for us, if he keeps coming back and offending you, Jesus said forgive him. End of story, we told Peter. And Peter was a man that writes you off in a minute. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to give you a second chance. And the Lord says, you can't do that. This is where you've got to forgive, your heart's got to do it. We often say the Lord forgives it. I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. I just don't believe it. He doesn't remember, but of any scripture he gave is a thing. But the fact is, God don't forget nothing. He is all knowledgeable and understanding, but what he doesn't do is throw it up in your face. He doesn't come back out. The one who throws it up again, now you fail, you go back on God, he says you need to do your first works over. You need to start over this thing. You got a problem. And then you've got to come back and do it all again, or that all is going to come right back on your lap. And if you fail, you mess up, John chapter 2 tells us, any man sin, we have an advocate Father. You fail, God is faithful and just to forgive you. You come back, you ask for forgiveness, you don't continue to practice it, you don't come back, smack your brother 490 times in one day. You repent, you change, you go in a different direction, and then you forgive him. So it's, the world's got a whole perverted mindset of what repentance and confession is. We just say that every offender, you automatically should forgive. I don't believe that. True repentance is, this man's not going to want to keep practicing. He's going to turn away from it. He's going to ask forgiveness, and he's not going to try to do that again. But if he does fail, and it may be the same offense, I just can't see him doing it over and over and over and over again. That's not real repentance. But you know what? I've offended brothers, and a few years later, I may do the exact same thing again. And the offense is committed again. I may have come back to you today and said, Brother Doug, I'm sorry I spoke harshly to you. I was wrong. I was, and you forgive me. Well, you know what? 5 years from now, I may do it again and speak harsh again. I got to come back again and say, Brother Doug, and the tendency is this. Brother Emmy, you did that once to me. Mm-hmm. Brother Doug, that was 15 years ago. It doesn't matter. You did. You know what? God doesn't do that for us. He does not do that because, but the person's got grounds if he continues. If I offend you today, and I offend you tomorrow, and I offend you the next day, or I offend you three times a day, look and say, hey, wait a minute, Brother Emmy. There's a problem. We need to deal with this. I mean, what? And then you deal with it. Mm-hmm. If a person does it, and it's back again, you forgive him. And we did Christ, even though we may fail in the same area, as long as it has not become our habit, it has not become our practices, and God will forgive us, and God does not come and do grind it in our face and say, here you are again. This is the devil will. Mm-hmm. The devil, I promise you, say, you're a failure, you're a loser, you failed, and you'll do this, and he will browbeat you and browbeat you. Our responsibility as saints of God is to have a pure heart, love one another fervently. If we fail, we confess it, and don't do it again to the very best of your ability. And the responsibility, and then we are bound to forgive one another and to walk in that forgiveness. And even though you may not, I can tell you right now, it's just as simple. If anyone says any otherwise, I'll call you a liar. If you don't remember a sin Brother Emery's committed against you, though you've forgiven them, if you don't remember it, there is really something wrong with you. Because the fact is that there's been people who've offended me, and I remember it, Brother Doug. I remember the time they done such and such, and it hurt me so terribly, and guess what they've done again? But I am bound to do what Jesus does and not bring that and say, here it is again, here it is again, here it is again. Because Christ doesn't do that to us, and we're not going to do it either. If we completely fail, and we have a habit of it, and we walk away from God and turn away, God will say, now listen, there's a problem. You have a pattern. And this pattern is showing the lack of true repentance. Mm-hmm. You need to fix it.
Careful in forgiving them of what their trespasses is against you, it becomes bitterness in you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you harbor that feeling, you harbor that bitterness, and it just grows.
Sure.
Instead, where Christ says, if he says, forgive those who offend you, even as your heavenly Father has forgiven you your trespasses and sins. So we must harbor in our heart forgiveness. No matter what the transgression is, and if that brother doesn't come to you. I mean, sometimes, like you were saying, brother, a brother won't come up to you. He doesn't even know he's a Christian. Mm-hmm. I know that we're supposed to go to him. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we won't go. And we harbor it. And we get bitter. But Christ says, if anyone trespasses against you, you need to forgive them their trespasses. Even as you're, or our Father won't forgive us of our sins.
Right.
So we have a responsibility.
And that's why I say that to me, it depends on what it is. If it's something it's harboring in your heart and you just can't forgive that person or just can't forget about it, have love and just forget about it, and it's something that's more serious than that, and then you need to deal. It has to be dealt with. And if there's not repentance, of course, we know what to do in the church. But if it's somebody outside the church or another church has offended you and you may not be able to go through those steps, but you just can't say, I forgive that person. You just can't have the mindset, I forgive them. If they've never repented of them, you can't forgive them. Or if they refuse to repent of it, you cannot forgive them. You can have the mindset that you're not going to hold hard feelings against them. You don't want something bad to happen against them or something like that. You can have that. That's what you must do. But you can't forgive them until there's repentance. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Now that word rebuke is not going to go up there and tie a loop around that name of the tree. That's not what that means.
Right.
What it means is confront. Sometimes we offend people in minor things, we don't even realize we've even done it.
Right.
The other person is upset. So what they need to do is if they're upset enough. confront a person, and this is what it says, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And that's plain. That's to the point, it's inside. That's simple instruction straight from Jesus himself. We don't need to add that or take nothing away from it, just that simple. And then of course it goes on and talks about the seven times and all that, but the mindset is we've got to be willing to confront and deal with issues.
Amen. Does that answer your question? Did we get to an answer for you?
I was in agreement with what you were saying earlier, which is what's been said here several times. When somebody repents, then that is what triggers your forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I think all the times in our society, forgiveness is taken much too lightly. People think you're supposed to forgive them without them admitting they've done anything wrong. You're supposed to forgive them. And in my opinion, even somebody saying, "I'm sorry," that's a good first step. But they need to go to the next step and say, "We need to forgive."
That's right.
Two of the greatest healthiest things for any relationship, our relationship to God, our relationship to each other, is confession and repentance. They go hand in hand and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
It's repentance and forgiveness. The man repents, forgiven. You can't do either one. You can't repent, your relationship's going to be in trouble. It's just that. If you can't forgive, it's going to be in trouble.
It's just about what Brother Doug said. It's the same principle as us when we go to repent for our sins to God.
Same thing.
Praise God. See, right now I am submitting to you because it's hot in here to me, and you guys may be cold or something, because I have to submit to you. See, our people are a cold nature. A lot of times. All right. So we're submitting. Amen. A lot of times we're preaching and we got sweat running down our backs and people are covered up. That's right. So I'm submitting to you. Amen. Do you remember what number we was on? Where were we? 18. Confess your faults. Okay. All right. One thing I'd like to say about confessing your faults. I mean, if you have done offense against the church, you have brought shame to the church and something or something, then I guess you need to confess it to the body, I believe. You have offended the whole church. You have brought shame somehow to the whole church. And then that does need to be confessed. But he's not so much talking about here. I like Brother Ross Jackson. I liked your answer there. Can you comment a little bit more on about, you said that you may need to. Or something like that, didn't you say? If it's appropriate, yes. What? I'm putting you on the spot, I know, but. Right. You, example maybe it would go along with what you're saying is you might have done something to quench the spirit in a service. And you may need to confess it to the church. No? I got raised eyebrows, but I don't know. I see. There's times if you have offended the Holy Ghost, that needs to be apologized. But if you've done something out of line in the church service that I've been in services, man, the Spirit of God's moving, and then it was like it shut down. You turned the water faucet off, and you couldn't go another step. There's a reason why that's happened. There's a reason why it's happened. Okay. Number 19. Pray one for another. Okay, we goes along with confessing your faults, and we also are to pray one for another that they may be healed. This is something that we do, and when the fault is confessed, it's not a time that you belittle that person or say, this had the wrong mindset or attitude towards that person. You pray for them. You pray for that person. You might be there one day confessing the fault. And you don't want it to be thrown up in your face. You want somebody to pray for you. Right. Okay. Number 20, have compassion one for another. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brethren, and be pitiful, be courteous. And these are several instructions he gives us to us to one another. We need to have the one mind and having compassion one for another. You know, we're on the same team. We should have the same goals. We're wanting to go to heaven. We're wanting to see the power of God. And, you know, we all are a part of the body of Christ, and we're all family here. And just show that compassion. Use hospitality one to another. 1 Peter 4:9. And don't do it grudgingly. Don't do it grudgingly. Be willing to open your home to others. Show that compassion, hospitality to them. And, you know, God, if God's blessed you with whatever, be willing to show that hospitality one to another. It's sad today that, you know, people just don't want each other in their homes these days.
What is that grudging, brother? Is that a have to do?
Yes. You don't do it grudgingly. You know, it's like your father's up there behind you, smacking you on the head and making you do it. You know, that's not the way we do it. It should be willingly. Willingly do it.
And, mm-hmm. Somebody will get money.
Right.
They do it selfishly.
Yeah.
We should never do that.
Mm-hmm. You give them $100 bill and you say, "Well, God's spoken to me to give this to you, but man, it sure hurts. Boy, I could really have used this, but God spoke to me to give it to you." Okay. Number 22, minister your gift one to another. This deals with in the verse, every man has received a gift, so minister the same one to another. It could deal with talents, with gifts, same one to another. It's good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We all have different talents and abilities. Each one of us has, in this body, we all have different things we can do. We have people who can build cabinets. We have people who can do electrical work. We have people who can work on vehicles. And, you know, we all have different gifts, abilities that we can do. We got ladies that can sew. We got ladies that can cook. We got, and the list just goes on and on that God has blessed each one of us with the ability to do. So we have this gift. We receive this gift. So minister this gift, the same one to another, as good stewards. In other words, what God's blessed you with the ability, and you can take that ability and help somebody with it, be willing to do that. Be willing to do that. Some people may, ladies, some people may not be able to sew, and you're able to help somebody to fix a garment or to sew or do something. You know, some ladies have grown up, women have grown, you know, in their childhood. They didn't have a mother that taught them how to cook. They didn't have a mother that maybe taught them how to do certain things. But you was taught these things, and you're able to do them. So you can help that person and you can instruct that person. Use that gift to minister to them. Okay? 23, be subject one to another. We dealt some with this. All you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Also, it goes along the same lines. submit one to another, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and He gives grace to the humble. Be subject one to another. Do it with humility. Again, the world wants to put categories on people. We don't do that in the body of Christ. We don't have the rich Christian and the poor Christian, and we categorize them. If God's blessed somebody with finances, then that's so be it. If God's blessed them with in other areas, so be it. If this person is from here, and we are subject one to another. What we want, the world wants to do, is they want to pay more attention to the man who's got the money than the one who doesn't. And we do not do that. We submit to them because they are a part of the body of God, of Christ. So we're subject to them, not by the way the world has categorized them. 24, have fellowship one with another. But if you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's communion. That's unity. I believe that's one reason the church, early church, they met. They broke bread daily. They had a fellowship one with another. That fellowship strengthens each other. You're in the world all week long. You need that fellowship one with another. You've got to be around the saints. And He tells us to do this, especially in the last days. 25, have the same care one for another. Again, we do not categorize people. We have the same care one for another. There should be no schisms, if I'm pronouncing that right, schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Tell me what the word schism, or how I pronounce it. Divisions, right. Did you say something new? Okay. Divisions. We do not divide the body. One body. One body, amen? And we are a part of that, and we have the same care one for another. It doesn't mean if he's a young convert, or if he's been an elder and been serving God for 50 years. You still care one for another, that person, just as much. If he's new, young, rich, or old, or if he's been serving God for years and he's grown in the Lord and all these things. We treat everybody the same. Okay? That was kind of just a quick run through. There's probably 25 messages there. And I hope you will look at these. God's wanting to use this church. The devil's going to fight us. The devil's going to fight us. And the way he can do it is within. He can tear us down within. And if we'll take these 25 verses right here, however many verses, if we'll take them, and when we get in situations, we look at these verses, I believe it'll help us. I failed in these verses. Am I the only one? So, I believe if I would have took time and looked at these things and handled things in a different way, the outcome would have been a whole lot better. But a lot of times we handle it in our way, and we mess it up. And we take something that was just a little fire, and we make it into a bonfire. Instead of just putting out a little fire, now we got a big old bonfire to put out. And we would have just done it God's way. All of us on each end of the party, it would have been taken care of. And it would have been a whole lot easier. Amen? Let's stand today, this afternoon. I thank you for coming this afternoon.